Welcome to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Yeah, that's right. It is time for Monday Night Lights. I am Brad Allen here with you 1 hour of all of the sports talk that matters to Northeast Michigan. We're going to get started today with warning you that it is quite a bit snowy out there, so please be safe if you're out on the roads today, getting quite a bit of that early spring snow. We're brought to you in part by Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena, Blue Bear Jewelry in Easttown, with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City in Essexville, Kevin Hummerk House at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas, and Claus Family Ace Hardwares with 15 locations to serve you. All sorts of great stuff to hit on today as the high school season in the winter sports came to a close for us here in Northeast Michigan. We'll have that. We'll start with that here in just a couple of minutes. The NCAA tournament. This has been a really, really good tournament. A lot of close games. I mean, the second round, so Saturday and Sunday, there was one blowout game that you could just turn off, and a lot of us were watching the Michigan game during that time anyway, so there was one game that you really didn't want to see the end of, with Providence just crushing Richmond. Other than that, the round of 32 was fantastic. So we'll talk more about that. The Detroit Tigers have started their spring season. We'll talk about their offseason as Alavila says their team is done. And then, of course, we'll have our final word. I will open up the phone lines here in just about 15 minutes, as then you guys can get all of your opinions in on anything that's happening in the world of sports, whether it's Detroit, whether it's college, high school, or beyond, whatever you want to talk about, golf or swimming, I don't care. We can talk about whatever it is. But let's get started here in the high school season, as let's focus on some of the teams and how their seasons ended up. As we covered both Tawas and Standish making their way to the regionals in boys basketball, and then Oscoda making their way to the regionals in girls basketball. And let's start there because I'm only going to talk about the one team in girls basketball. And Oscoda yet again wins a district title, gets themselves to the regionals, which is something that we have not really been surprised by. Over the last few years is when this team makes the districts, but yet again they fall short in the regionals, and really to no fault of their own. Lake City, who ended up winning that region, was a really, really good team. But Oscoda, you know, they're going to keep on trying to push this program. They have that next step to make. At this point, while it's still impressive to win this many district titles, I will never take that away from the players, from the school, from Coach Mark Toppy, any of that to win the district titles. At some point, you do start worrying about winning that next one, winning that first regional game, and being able to move on to, you know, that Thursday, that regional final day in girls basketball. That you know that they would really like to do that. And this program has been good enough where winning a regional title isn't out of reach. And even though they have some graduating seniors, I believe they lost three seniors on this team, plus, who knows if their leading scorer from this past year, Marlene Sobrino Salvador, is going to be back. She's just a sophomore, but she is, you know, a foreign exchange student from Spain. She may decide to stay in Spain. You spend one Michigan winter here, maybe you don't end up coming back. Who knows? So we'll see what she ends up deciding to do. But the program is in a really, really good spot. I was talking to the JV coach plenty of times. I've talked to Dean Caldwell. He's the assistant athletic director there at Oscoda. He's the offensive coordinator for the football team. I think he's been on this show when I was doing it on Sundays. He's done lots of great stuff. And he mentioned that this might be the best JV team he's had. And he's been the JV coach there for a few years now, really with this program being as good as it is. Which means that the Oscoda girls program hasn't really lost anything. There was a little bit of concern when Lauren Langley graduated, who is, you know, the all-time leading scorer at Oscoda in girls basketball, that, you know, man, this is going to be a tough replacement. And then same thing with last year when they had to replace players like Macy Kellstrom. It was going to be tough to replace, but they continued to find really, really good players in the system there just seems to continue to work. I mean, going from when they had Lauren Langley of pounding the ball inside, trying to feed the post, to then, you know, hitting some of the most threes in the state of Michigan recently. That too. So it's been a really, really strong program that looks like it's going to continue. And they do have some nice young players that are going to be on a roll too. I mean, one girl that Kurt Romberger always enjoyed watching play was Kingsley Back. She was just a freshman for the Oscoda girls, and she was really big off the bench for them, and she even started a couple of times in the post. Really, really important for that program. So I'm interested to see as this program continues, and it should continue to be strong. There's no reason we should expect to see a decline in Oscoda girls basketball as they continue to roll and dominate in the area. I like what the Tawas girls are still young, too. And so they should be able to maybe kind of grow a little bit. It might be able to push Oscoda to the brink and be able to pick up some wins. Alcona was able to pick up some wins. So girls basketball improving around Northeast Michigan. And Oscoda looks like they will try to continue their dominant run around here. But it's going to start to become a time where you talk about winning regional games and what they have to do to win regional games. And, well, they did essentially what they could. I mean, they got rid of the Little Dipper part of their schedule. They didn't feel it was necessary or fair or, you know, to make it sound poor, worth their time to beat up on the Hales and the Atlantas, you know, the really, really small schools in the Little Dipper. It really was not, it's not going to help either team. It's not going to help Atlanta to lose by 60 points. It's not going to help them. And it wasn't going to help the Owls to win by 60 points. And so they elected, instead of playing the Little Dipper, which is technically not in their conference in the North Star League, to play teams like Bay City Central, to play teams like Alpena. And instead schedule those bigger schools, those Division I, Division II schools, good schools, to be able to compete against. I'd like to see them. Obviously, you know, you got to be able to make the schedule work. But I'd love to see them schedule team, you know who your region is beginning of the year. I'd love to see them schedule Lake City, McBain, Sanford Meridian in the early part of the year, you know, in the regular season, so you get a look at what they're doing. Maybe you kind of play against them. I'm sure they've tried to schedule some of those teams, but I would love to see them play against Lake City, against Houghton Lake, against Roscommon, against Sanford Meridian, all those teams that were in their region this year, you know, those teams you kind of look at and you go, well, Lake City, you know, they had that superstar sophomore with Mackenzie Bisball who ended up beating the Owls. Like, let's make sure we put them on the schedule next year so we can see how we stack up against them and what we need to change if we see them in regionals. Because that's where the Owls are at, where the regular season is obviously important and winning their conference is important, but they're looking to continue on through the seasons and possibly win regionals. Brad Allen here with you on Monday and Night Lights. As we continue on, we're breaking down the end of the high school season. Now let's jump over to Division III in boys basketball as the Tawas Area Braves got their district title. It was awesome to see their run this year. They topped the Oscoda Owls three times this season, and you know that as important as the district title was, as important as it was to make regionals, all of those things, finish over 500, have a great year. They're not in a conference, so you can't say conference title. You know how important it was to that group and to that coaching staff, as much as Todd Kames probably wouldn't admit it to me, how important it was to beat the Owls three times. How big that was for the program. Not just because Oscoda is the rival of the Tawas Area Braves, but also just because of how dominant the team 15 miles north here in Iosco County, how dominant that team has been over the past couple of years with that great senior class that was led by Owen Franklin and Gavin Lewick and Caleb Noggle. And then when Drew Hess and Brennan Mills moved to Oscoda, had that one year with all five of them where that team was probably good enough to make a state quarterfinal or semifinal if they don't run into a Division I basketball player in the regional finals. So when you have that dominant of a group that, you know, didn't lose more than two or three times a year for a good 4 or 5 years, pretty much right after I graduated, they just, you know, the three seniors that I was, me and the two other guys that I was with when I was at Oscoda, every year after that, they got immensely better. And then which that just tells you how good I was at basketball. But to be able to move on forward with that, so big for the Braves to be able to really to get a solid win in their first one, won by double digits. Second one, they make big plays in Oscoda, make big plays, big steal at the end. Gavin Dukai pokes it away. Kanishevsky lays it in for the win. And then in the third game, this one I think is the one they'll love the most. One, it wins them a district title. Two, the game was never in question. They never let the Owls in that game. It was just, a 15-point win. But I remember talking with Kurt Romberger after the game. Him and I would always talk and check in. And he mentioned that he goes, the game was never in question. That the Braves dominated the game. And that the Owls never truly had a chance against the Braves, which is fantastic. So then you move on to regionals, and Taos kind of got their butt kicked in regionals, right? And so you look at that and you go, maybe this team wasn't that good. No. Same thing as like Oscoda losing in the regional final last year. Sometimes you just run into the wrong group. This Taos team could have beaten a lot of teams. But what is the one thing they struggled with? I talked about all season long. They struggled with physicality. They struggled with a team that was bigger than them, that could hit them, because Taos is a finesse basketball team. They have some size, but Taos is truly a finesse team. You could bully them. You could beat them down low. You could beat them by going at them. You could beat them. If you let them just swing the ball around and launch threes, they're going to beat you. If you sit back in the zone. But if you kind of, you know, use up your fouls, you kind of really hit them a little bit, you could beat Taos. Now, they still beat some teams that did that. Alcona pressured the heck out of them one day, but Taos still dropped 40-something points in the fourth quarter and beat them. So, obviously, this team was really good, but you run into two college basketball players at Grayling. And by the way, at Grayling, so the gym is completely against you, in a regional semifinal. So a big game, a regional game, that's uncharted territory for the group that was there. Regional game. And you run into a team that's hosting, a good team that's hosting, who has a couple of really good players. And you think that, you know, a Friday night home game, people will show out for a game. Now imagine that it's a regional semifinal. You're into that second week of the playoffs. And how many people are going to go to support the home team, Grayling? I was talking, you know, I never would have said it on the air because I don't like, you know, want to do, but I was talking with, like, you know, the people I work with who asked me about it. And I was like, Taos, it's just a poor matchup. It was a poor matchup for the Braves. I said it before the game that Taos was going to have to play a perfect game to win. And they hung around early. But once the game started to switch and the stars for Grayling started to play like stars, you know, when I was talking to Andy Beebe, who called the game, he said, you know, through all the issues that we had calling that game, you know, he mentioned, he goes, just once things kind of, the switch flipped, there really was nothing Taos could do. Grayling was just more athletic and way better. So a hugely successful season for the Braves, who don't graduate all their talent. So the Braves should be right back here and succeeding next year. Now, this group was kind of the one that everybody looked at as kind of like, this was the team they could put together to make a run, right? This was the great JV team who was already with the decent varsity players that's moved up. Now, they're still going to have a lot of key players back. We're going to get better. Better and better and better. And they don't graduate a lot of players. This team should get even better, especially under a good coach like Todd Kames. I expect the Braves to be successful next year, too. Now, what about the Owls? Did they have a successful season, right? Because they had kind of set a standard for 5 years, right? That this was a... They were supposed to cruise through the districts like they have recently, right? They just kind of roll through it. That hasn't happened, obviously. That didn't happen, obviously, this year. They didn't just get to roll through. You know, they didn't average over 70 points a game this year like they did last year. They graduated six guys. You know, they graduated in their six best players, too. Maybe on side of Michael Geoffrey, who could mix into possibly that top five. But the offense was just really Geoffrey-centric this year. They didn't really have anybody else who could create a shot. I like Michael Rona, the guy driving to the basket, I thought was really good this year. I like Epsidis down low. Trevor Miller was extremely athletic. He just not much. He didn't early in the season versus end of the season. Trevor Miller were two very different people. He picked up basketball really, really quick. But after that, when they brought guys in, you were kind of wondering, like, man, where's this team going to go for their offense? And they were really young in the backcourt. I like Michael Miles, and I like Blake Malik. And I think they're both going to be good players. The varsity experience that they got this year is going to be just invaluable for the rest of their career. Because they played in some really big, really tough games that they're going to remember. So I think it's a greatly successful season for the Owls. To even get that team to a district final, I think is one of the best coaching jobs that Mike Polin did. Now, he was a really good coach. He's been a really good coach. He's one of the top two or three coaches, if he's not the best, in Northeast Michigan. You know, he's right up there with Matt Coyne at Standish of some of the best coaches around. But you could look at him the last, couple of years with the group he had and go, well, of course he's going to win games. Look at that group. You got to put it together, which he did a good job. This was one of his best coaching jobs, to be able to get this team to play as much defense as it did, to be able to get kind of some leadership out of it. I thought it was a really, really good job by Mike Polin. Now let's go to Division Two. Now, this happened a couple of weeks ago, so it's kind of old news, but I haven't had a chance to talk about it on here much. Let's go to the Standish-Ogemaw District. That Standish-Ogemaw Heights game in the district semifinal was tremendous, wasn't it? It was a great game. Was it 73-71 or something like that was the final score? A lot of scoring, a lot of points. But I remember talking with Coach Coyne before the district final on Friday, and Andy and I asked him, we're like, how surprised were you that Hudson Hodgins didn't touch the basketball in the last 15 seconds of the game on either of those two inbounds? That it wasn't like he was double covered. He ran away from the basketball, which is the play call. I'm sure it wasn't him. I'm sure it was the play call for him to run away from the basketball and then maybe cut back to it. But they inbounded to someone else two separate times. And Coach Coyne, he just kind of smiles and he's like, that was something, huh? Like, he goes, he could not understand it. He couldn't get it. And, he planned for the Hudson Hodgins led way down there. And, he mentioned, he goes, there's like 7 seconds left. And when there's like 7 seconds left, that's plenty of time to be able to get the ball down the court. Plenty of time to fight it down the court and get something at the rim, which just wasn't allowed. Hudson didn't touch the basketball. Ogemaw Heights had a great year, up and down. They play a tough schedule. They don't play on Friday nights. It's tough when you're not in a conference. You can keep a regular schedule, which it's amazing how important that actually is if you know, hey, I'm playing on Tuesday and Friday almost every week. To not have that was a little bit difficult for them, I'm sure. But I want to focus more on Standish, and I feel bad. Andy and I talked about this at the end of the, in the districts when we were doing that, him and I have kind of become de facto Claire coverers for about a week a year, because Claire always makes that district final and always loses to either Standish or Ogemaw Heights. It is constant that whoever wins that district, Standish or Ogemaw Heights, they probably beat Claire in the district final. And that's got to be frustrating for Claire. They have good teams. They are good basketball teams down there at Claire. And they can't get over the hump against either Standish or Ogemaw Heights. We've covered a lot of them. They seem to win their first game. Whether that be possibly over Standish or Ogemaw Heights, Claire beat Standish in a district relatively recently, but then they lost to Ogemaw Heights. It's amazing when you watch this team and what they do. But anyway, for Standish, they were able to respond to Claire's energy. Few teams outrun Standish, and really no one does. And Claire came out and punched him in the mouth in that district final. Just came out with more energy, more focus. And Standish just eventually, you could kind of tell things were going. They just kind of wore down. They slowed down. And even though Claire was outplaying Standish like crazy, you looked up and Standish is only down 4. Standish is only down 5, maybe 6. And then you kind of look back again and you're like, wait a minute. I still feel like Claire is outplaying Standish, and Standish is up by 3. Standish is up by 6. Standish got up by 15 to start the third quarter. And I read in an article, so Addison Vlad hit that full court shot to end the first half. And I read an article and the Claire coach was like, yeah, at that point, the guys were almost just kind of like, what can you do? You can't beat this team. You can't beat this team. And it's just, that's the luck of Clare in this district, that Addison Vallad hits full court shots against them. That is what Clare has to go through in this district. They just can't even go over the hump. Standish then against Cadillac. Man, Chase Raymond looked settled in, but nobody else looked like they just settled down and played basketball. Nobody else looked like they were just settling in and going to play the game. They were equally as talented, Standish was, as Cadillac. I didn't see a huge amount of talent disparity. Now, Cadillac may have had one or two players who were better than the Standish guys. I think they had a couple of guys who were really, really good and may have been the best players on the court. But if you just look as a whole, I think Standish probably has the advantage at three of the positions and just could not find a way to settle in. Cole Prout settled in a bit in the second half, but Cadillac did a darn good job of contesting at the rim because Standish doesn't shoot a lot of jump shots, contesting at the rim without fouling. And Standish just wasn't used to that, I don't think. I don't think they were used to that amount of defensive pressure without fouling. Cadillac did a great job of not fouling, keeping their hands up, using their bodies to move Standish out of the way. Chase Raymond played great. He had well over 20 points. He seemed locked in. No one else really did. So that Standish team is one where you look at and you figure, is this the group that could have made a deep run? Still, an extremely successful season for them, too. I thought we had a lot of really, really good basketball around Northeast Michigan. All right, I'm overdue for a break. We come back, we'll dive into the NCAA tournament. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines. If you want to text or call about anything happening in Northeast Michigan, whether it be college, high school, pros, whatever it is, whether I'm talking about it or not, now is your chance. Text or call 362-3417.
Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity, offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet models with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $750 in Chevy Select Market Cash, plus $500 in Chevy Consumers Cash. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Odds are there's an Ace right in your neighborhood with expert advice and the right tools to make your quick fixes even quicker. Around the block, what you need in stock with people who know their stuff. Welcome to the Home Convenience Store. Stop in to your local Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations. Ace is the place with helpful hardware, folks.
This National Ag Week message is brought to you as a public service to the community by Bartlett Farms of Sterling, established in 1892, a fifth-generation farm.
The food we buy today is the best in all the world, higher in quality and nutrition, and better tasting than ever before. It's grown on the most modern farms in the world, processed in modern factories, maintaining the world's highest standards of cleanliness and quality. During March, we salute the men and women of American agriculture.
This National Ag Week message was brought to you as a public service to the community by Bartlett Farms of Sterling, established in 1892. Proud to be a fifth-generation farm.
This is Monday Night Lights, brought to you by Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, with 15 locations to serve you. Kevin Hummerkaus, Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas, Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City in Essexville, Blue Bear Jewelry in East Dallas, and Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena. All right, so we talked about the high school stuff. Now let's talk about the NCAA tournament. I like upsets in the NCAA tournament, but, you know, obviously everybody wants the madness, right? March Madness. I always say at the beginning of every year, because at the end of the day, this is still to determine our national champion, right? This is still to determine the best team in the country. So I don't want too many upsets.
I like, you know, in the first 4 days of the tournament, you know, that when we go from 64 to 68, technically, to 16, I like, you know, to have a decent amount of upsets. That's fun, right? But at some point, I want the best teams playing. I want the best teams to win games. I want the best teams to be there at the end. This tournament's hovering on the fringe of that. There may be too many upsets. I think we're getting close to that. Too many upsets. And so we'll see how the Sweet 16 goes this week. Usually this is where teams come back down to earth because they get 4 or 5 days off. And this is where the good teams start to actually kind of play like the good teams. So teams like Miami, Michigan, St. Peter's, Iowa State, the four double-digit seeds that made the Sweet 16, how are we going to see them play? Now, a double-digit seed will make the Elite Eight because Miami and Iowa State are playing each other. But Michigan against Villanova, St. Peter's against what? Purdue. How are they going to play those double-digit seeds? All right, so let's bring it back to home a little bit here, and let's go to the Michigan Wolverines. The last three halves they've played, the last half against Colorado State and both halves against Tennessee, I think were three of the best halves I've seen them play this season. Tennessee was better than them. I don't think you can dispute that. Even though Michigan won the game, I'd like to hear a Michigan fan try and tell me that Tennessee was not better than Michigan. I am a Michigan fan. I can tell you right now that Tennessee team is better than Michigan. But Michigan won the game. They worked out. They got a great game plan from Juwan Howard. And all those people who in Juwan, you know, that first half against Colorado State, you know what I saw a whole lot of on Twitter? Bring back Martelli. Bring, you know, Martelli's the real coach. All those things that is dumb. That's not true. Juwan Howard built this game plan against Tennessee. And his team executed it to perfection. Devontae Jones was supposed to play and then ends up with what is probably a concussion that made him sick. And he had to adjust. Frankie Collins played great. But the defense from Michigan earlier this week against Tennessee was tremendous. Being able to funnel those guards, those really quick guards, you know you're not faster than those Tennessee guards. The two of them were amazingly quick. You know you can't guard them. You know you can't stay in front of them. So don't try. Just make sure nobody on Tennessee could shoot a three who shot just abysmal from the three-point line, which is due to Michigan's defensive effort, and just funnel them into the big guys of Diabate and Dickinson to go make plays on defense. Now, those Tennessee guards are really good, so sometimes they pulled up for a nice mid-range jump, or they got to the rim and scored. Well, overall, the game plan worked to perfection. Don't let them get 3 points. Funnel them to the big guys inside. And Dickinson made a huge block at the end of the game that ended up winning the game, or finalizing the win of the game. And then Dickinson, you know, it's amazing. You watch Hunter Dickinson play during the Big Ten season, right? And you're like, man, there are times when he just goes quiet. There are times he's just not always there. And then you see him in the NCAA tournament and you go, who the heck is this guy? Where's he been? You know what it is? You have no way. One, the Big Ten is the best bigs in the country. Kofi Coburn. Then you have, I'm forgetting the... the guy at Purdue, the 7'3" guy at Purdue, Zach Edey. You have him. You have great bigs in the Big Ten. Marcus Bingham's a good big. He'd be really good in another conference. I'm not sure he's top five in the Big Ten. You think about how good some of these guys are down low. You can kind of account for Dickinson. But when you really have to account for him, or when you don't really, you don't see him on a daily basis, you don't see him on a couple times a season, teams like Colorado State and Tennessee, they didn't know what to do. They were amazed when Dickinson was shooting from outside. They gave him all the space in the world, and Dickinson's not a great shooter, but he can shoot. And he knocked down shots against both teams. And then when they realized, okay, you got to guard him out there, he took him down low and he gave him the business down there too. Hunter Dickinson is a matchup problem. You have no idea how to defend him when you don't see him all the time. I'm glad that Ohio State didn't win, which, by the way, another good big, and A.J. Liddell against Villanova, because I bet you he would have, you know, Ohio State would have known how to slow down Hunter Dickinson. You can't stop him, but you would know how to slow him down. So you have to respect that as you move through the tournament, that if you face another Big Ten team, Dickinson may not play as well. He also may not play as well because we're playing better teams. Villanova, who Michigan will play on Thursday, is the best three-point shooting team in the country, right? They get more percentage of their points from the three-point line than anybody else. If Michigan walks in there with the same game plan they did against Tennessee, they can beat Villanova. They'll have the size advantage down low with Dickinson and Diabate. If they can just get their guards to play all right, if Eli Brooks stays consistent and has a good, what is this, like his ninth senior year, they can beat Villanova. I'm not going to say that they will, but they can. Because Villanova's got a great coach in Jay Wright who will be able to figure something out, I think, and make Dickinson make plays. Michigan, if they play defense the way they did, they can beat Villanova, which is, I didn't expect them to beat Tennessee. I was amazed at the way they played against Tennessee. Amazed. The other team that played extremely well was Michigan State. Man, that game against Davidson was tough, but honestly, Davidson was the betting favorite going into that game. So 7-10, whatever you want to call it, Davidson was a one-point favorite. Michigan State got the win. Now, also against Davidson, who the heck was that Joey Hauser? Where's that Joey Hauser been for 2 years? That's the Joey Hauser Michigan State thought they were getting from Marquette. Where has that guy been? That was amazing performance that Joey Hauser put on against Davidson. But more importantly, it was the fight against Duke. That game yesterday had a lot on the line. Because, obviously, it's a fight for the Sweet 16. But not only is it that, it's also, if Michigan State wins that game, Coach K's never coaching again. Coach K's next loss is his last one. So there was a lot riding on that game as Michigan State was looking to upset Duke. Now, the number one problem Michigan State has had all season long has been turnovers. They have not had those last four or five games, and you saw how well they played, right? This is why this team at some point got up into, could have been up into the top 15, top 10, because they're this good. There was a game within the last 3 weeks where they just dominated Purdue because they didn't turn the dang ball over. They have good shooters on this team, and Gabe Brown and Malik Hall, and of course, the freshman Max Christie. Tyson Walker played really well down the stretch. And when they could actually put shots up because they're not giving the ball to the other team, and they could set up a Tom Izzo defense, it's amazing how good this team plays where they compete with Duke until the last minute. Now, don't say that Michigan State choked or anything against Duke. Now, I haven't heard anybody say that, really. Haven't really heard it, so good on everybody on Twitter for not ripping apart Michigan State for losing that game late to Duke. Duke had better players. I'm not sure there was really a position where Michigan State had an advantage. Duke had better players everywhere. Paolo Banchero is a top 10 pick in the NBA. 6'10", can move. He did some things yesterday that were amazing. That and one he got on Joey Hauser. Or I guess it wasn't even an and one. It was a no call. Where he threw an elbow a little bit high right into the chest of Hauser, and Hauser looked like he was about going to be sent into the first round or first row of seats. The strong guy, Ben Carroll, did a great, great job. Michigan State did a great, great job. They never quit. They lost their turnovers, and they just flat out lost to a better team than Duke. Great run by Michigan State to even make it interesting. You say losing the round of 32, you're like, yeah, whatever. But when you think about how interesting they made it, that's a really, really nice job by Michigan State. Now, do not quit on the Spartans. I understand they look a little rough these past couple of years. It's not the Tom Izzo-led teams. They will have one more run under Tom Izzo, where they make a Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four even, under Tom Izzo. One more run before he calls it quits. I don't know when it's going to be, because I think Izzo's nearing the end, but I will say it right here. You guys can keep the receipts that it's 6:35 p.m. on March 21st, 2022. Brad Allen promised you there'd be at least one more Sweet 16 or Elite 8 appearance for Michigan State under Tom Izzo. At least one more. I don't think this is kind of a last run. I think Izzo is kind of coming to the end of his career. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, says he's only got 1, 2, or 3 years left. Wouldn't be surprised at that at all. But I do think another run is coming for Michigan State. 6:35 on the Sunrise side. We'll transition away from the hardwood and on to the spring sport that is baseball, even though it doesn't look like spring outside. We'll transition to that. That's coming up right after this. We'll talk Detroit Tigers on WKJC, your power station for sports.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
We're Northeast State.
Now is a great time to complete those interior home renovations. True Value Easy Care Ceiling White, $19.99 per gallon. Replacing interior doors, we stock birch and six-panel pre-hungs, bifolds, and a complete line of interior trim. Remodeling a kitchen or bathroom? Check out the latest in colors and styles at our Harrisville store. Looking for shiplap? 1x8 pine, 89 cents per lineal foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet models with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $750 in Chevy Select Market Cash, plus $500 in Chevy Consumers Cash. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint. Now Benjamin Moore's quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood, along with award-winning service and advice Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock, with people who know their paint. Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations.
Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
Brad Allen here with you, 6:38 on the Sunrise side, 362-3417. If you want to be a part of the conversation today, both text and call lines are open. Let's transition to the Detroit Tigers as their offseason is finished. And the first thing I want to mention is I see people on Twitter who mention, especially when Carlos Correa got signed to the Twins earlier this week, of why couldn't the Tigers match a three-year, $105 million deal? Why would they? People complaining that the Tigers did not spend enough money this offseason. They got themselves a very quality pitcher, not going to say an ace, very quality pitcher in Eduardo Rodriguez. They got themselves the best defensive shortstop possibly in baseball. I guarantee you he is top five, and he will instantly improve the defense. Plus, he's a pretty darn good hitter in Javi Baez, too, on a relatively decent deal. They get a good number five starter in Michael Pineda out of that back end. All of that, we're told that this team didn't spend enough? What? I couldn't believe when I saw people saying that. People are saying that, Mike Gillich is rolling over in his grave at us not spending. You kidding me? Where did all that Mike Gillich, Dave Dombrowski teams get us, huh? Where'd it get us? Got us to the postseason, right? Got us to the World Series a couple of times. I'll give you that. But that team had almost no chance. We had easily the most star-studded team in the world in 2014. We threw money at everybody. We were spending like the Dodgers and the Yankees. Right? We had no bullpen, no speed, no defense. And if we didn't hit doubles and home runs, we had no chance. Welcome to the postseason, baby, where you have to play defense, you have to have speed, and you have to do something that isn't just hit home runs. We lost. We got our butts kicked by just a better coach team and a better built team in 2012 in the World Series there. We had the more talented team. We had no chance of winning that series. All you had to do was just slightly outpitch us. And as it gets cold, it's a lot harder to hit home runs. Tigers look real good those couple of years in like July, didn't they? They're mashing everybody. July and August, I bet you look at the records that the Tigers had in that 2011 through 2015 run. I bet you their records in July and August were incredible. Bet you the records in April were pretty good. They had enough pitching to kind of count. But I bet you their record in September was all right. You know, not great, but good enough. And of course, the postseason was always tough. Now we were talented enough to always beat the Yankees, it seemed. We had really good teams. But we were not going to win World Series. Where'd it get us? All that spending with Dave Dombrowski built teams and Chris Illich's money. Mike Illich's money. Nah. No. No. Let's not do that yet. We don't know how good Mize is. We don't know how good Scooble is. We don't know how good Manning is. We haven't even seen Torkelson or Green yet. All five of those kids, we don't know how good they are. I'm not going to spend a ton of money now and mortgage everything that we have. If it doesn't work, you just have a bunch of overpriced stars and we're rebuilding again. Let's make sure we're good. And then maybe next season we can spend like banshees. Right now? No. Improve the starting rotation. Improve the bullpen with guys like Andrew Chafin. Improve the defense and the offense with Tavi Baez. Perfect. Would I like to see him pick up one more bargain bat? I'm not talking spend big. I'm talking one more bat to play in the outfield. One more guy is what I would have wanted. That's it. But I'm happy with what we have. We have enough options in-house. All right, so let's kind of break down what's going to happen this year with the Tigers. All right, so Mize and Scooble, I think they're going to be all right. I'm a little worried about Manning. I don't know about Manning. I think Manning's going to struggle. He's just a kid. I'm not sure he's ready yet. Truly to be depended on to start 25 games, 30 games? I don't know. Now, Big Mike, Michael Pineda, he'll lead innings. Eddie Rodriguez will be a good pitcher. He's going to be our opening day starter. He's not going to be our best pitcher, though. But he's going to be that stabilizing force in the rotation. Good. Now, we need more starting pitcher options, though. Are we going to go the new wave of an opener? That's fine. Are we going to go with Fiedo or Alexander or Wentz? Also fine. All those good options. In the bullpen, honestly, should be the best we've seen in 10 years. Soto, Fulmer, Chafin, Alexander. This is going to be the best. I think Jimenez is going to be like our sixth inning guy. It's going to be the best bullpen we've had in like 10 years, which isn't saying much, but still. So that's where I think things stand. I think we need more pitching options. We need to make sure we have starters who can go. Alex Fiedo, you know, he's coming back off 2 years off. Can he bring in, he's not going to make the team out of camp, but can he make some headway down the stretch? Y'all be interesting to see. Take another break. We'll talk about the offense when we come back.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
We're Northeastern. Window and Door.
Now is a great time to complete those interior home renovations. True Value Easy Care Ceiling White, $19.99 per gallon. Replacing interior doors, we stock birch and six-panel pre-hungs, bifolds, and a complete line of interior trim. Remodeling a kitchen or bathroom? Check out the latest in colors and styles at our Harrisville store. Looking for shiplap? 1x8 pine, 89 cents per lineal foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
At Progressive, we know there's nothing like the feeling of riding your motorcycle with your buddies on the open road. It's a potent cocktail of thrills, laughter, and pure adrenaline. A feeling that would be impossible to recreate on the radio. Until now. Hit it, sound effects guy.
Real proud of you, son.
Well, that was terrible. Our apologies for even trying. Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Straight Talk Wireless now has the new iPhone 13 with Cinematic Mode, which lets you focus on what matters. And with Straight Talk, you can focus on getting the best deal. Our Silver Unlimited plan is just $45 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. And it runs on the largest, most dependable networks. Now with nationwide 5G. With the iPhone 13 on Straight Talk, you can share whatever you want, wherever you want. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
This is the Monday Night Light Show. As we continue on with our Detroit Tigers talk, we shifted from just the offseason to the pitching and now the offense. Let's not pretend. I feel optimistic about this team. But let's not pretend like this offense is going to be a top 10 offense in the league. All right? Let's not pretend like that. This offense will be fun, but it still lacks true power. Baez can hit for 20 to 25 homers. Mickey, I think at this point in his career, you're happy if you get 15. Robbie Grossman hit 20 last year. Do we expect that to happen again? He's never done that before. I don't expect to happen two times in a row. Akil Badu, does he take a step back now that the league has seen him? Jonathan Scope, he's real solid. About 20 seems high. And we have no idea how good Torkelson and Green are. We know they're supposed to be good. You can keep on reading articles about how they're good. We have not seen them consistently against Major League pitching yet. It's exciting. Torkelson and Green are exciting. But we know nothing. We know they can kill AA and AAA. We know that. That doesn't mean they can hit a major league pitcher. That doesn't mean they're ready for Major League Baseball in that long grind of a season. And when it comes to Torkelson and Green, unless they absolutely unequivocally win the starting job, send them to AAA. If Torkelson's going to be our everyday first baseman, if he's good enough for that, all right. If Riley Green's going to be an everyday center fielder or left fielder, all right, then you can bring him up. If they are not going to play every day, if they're bench players, no, AAA. I don't want them. Don't want them up here yet. Until they are ready to be stars. We don't want them up here. There's no reason for them to be up here and sit on the bench. We want them going and getting better at AAA. So I think Torkelson and Green will make it out of camp. I think they'll make the team, but I give no guarantees on that. And nor should we expect it to happen. I think they make it out of camp. I think on opening day, Torkelson will start at either first base or DH, and Green will start in one of the outfield spots. I do think that that's going to happen, yes. But even if they do make the team, they're still rookies. They're not going to be hitting 300 with 30 homers, all right? We still have to be prepared for them to struggle, for this team to struggle, for Verdugo to take a step back, for Baez to still kind of get used to what he's doing. They've had a really short spring training, right? His team is young. We got to figure it out. We got a new catcher in Tucker Barnhart, right? He's not a great offensive guy, but really good on defense. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for this team to completely put it together. I'm excited about it. I think this team should finish over 500. And with an extra playoff spot now, over 500 could have the Tigers competing for the third wild card in the American League. But don't go mortgaging the future at the trade deadline and trading, you know, good young players. We're at a good spot right now. Wait it out. Spend some more money next offseason. This team could be really, really good. I think over 500 is our lone goal this year. 82-80 is the lone goal. I have no other goal but 82-80. Whatever it takes to get there. Whatever it takes to get to 82-80 without mortgaging the future, that's what we need to do. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Final word. We're all hit on the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We're Northeast Bank. We know God.
Now is a great time to complete those interior home renovations. True Value Easy Care Ceiling White, $19.99 per gallon. Replacing interior doors, we stock birch and six-panel pre-hungs, bifolds, and a complete line of interior trim. Remodeling a kitchen or bathroom? Check out the latest in colors and styles at our Harrisville store. Looking for shiplap? 1x8 pine, 89 cents per lineal foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet models with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $750 in Chevy Select Market Cash, plus $500 in Chevy Consumers Cash. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Odds are there's an ace right in your neighborhood with expert advice and the right tools to make your quick fixes even quicker. Around the block, what you need in stock with people who know their stuff. Welcome to the Home Convenience Store. Stop in to your local Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations. Ace is the place with helpful hardware, folks.
The following National Ag Week message is brought to you as a public service to the community by Dr. Tom and staff of Farm and Pet Veterinary Services, located on M65 in Whittemore.
Back in 1950, there were more than 5 million farms in the United States. Today, there are only around 2 million farms. But listen, back in 1950, the average American farmer fed 27 people. Today, he feeds six times as many people. During March, we salute the men and women of American agriculture.
This National Ag Week message was brought to you by Dr. Tom and staff of Farm and Pet Veterinary Services, located on M65 in Whittemore.
Brad Allen here with you on Monday Night Lights. Time for our final word. And, you know, recently, obviously, with the NCAA tournament on, you know, I'm watching even more sports than I usually do. And one thing I noticed is the NCAA tournament has shown a stark contrast in the best and in the worst of sports. On the worst side of things, I'm going to end on a positive note. We're going to start with the worst side of things. Let's start just inside the NCAA tournament. The worst side of things are, one, I've never heard more people mention officials in my life. I've never heard more people blame officials for losses. I've never heard more people complain about officiating in games, whether it's good or bad. I've never heard it more than this NCAA tournament. I don't think I've ever heard it more than these past sports seasons I've done in general of how bad officiating is. That's not the story of any of these games. An official had really no hand in the way any of these games ended. None. The right teams, I think, won every game. The team that played better won every single game that I watched, and I watched every game of the NCAA tournament so far. The better team won every single one of them. The better team that day. Not the more talented team, not the team that had a better season. The more talented team that day won the NCAA tournament games. The other thing I've seen is just the complete lack of... Now, I didn't cover the women's tournament on here either, on this show today. I didn't talk about the teams in the women's NCAA tournament. But, man, did you even see it mentioned? I watched, you know, 4 days of games. I think I maybe saw one promo for it. Outside of Buick, you know, saying, you know, doing those commercials that talked about, in, you know, the women's NCAA anything. And we're not talking about it. You know what did get coverage? Women's swimming. For all the wrong reasons. I'm not going to tell you my opinions on it because it doesn't matter. It brought out the worst in people. On both sides of that story with Leah Thomas. Brought out the worst. And then the one that I think brought out the worst of everything the most is Deshaun Watson. And this is the one I will give my opinion on. Because how in the word I can't say does Deshaun Watson get traded at a time like this? It's gross. It's absolutely disgusting. I don't care that he's not being charged in criminal court for these 22 assault allegations against him. I don't care. How in the world can you trade for a guy right now who's going through that and give up 3 first-round picks and more and then make him the highest-paid quarterback fully by guaranteed money, not by average annual value, by guaranteed money, by a lot? Oh, but don't worry. They plan on him being suspended in the first year of the contract, so they made his base salary only $1 million out of the 230, which means they're going to pay him $229 million for 4 years after that. How in the world can we live in a spot where we have such greatness with the NCAA tournament, with St. Peter's making a run, Juwan Howard consoling that Tennessee player at the end of the game? It's the best sporting event in the United States. The NCAA tournament is. Is it the best way to decide a champion? No. But it is the best tournament. It brings so many people together. So many workplaces have brackets that they make. It's all everybody's talking about. You talk with your friends. You go out. I'm sure you're talking about how's your bracket doing. People who don't watch college basketball watch the NCAA tournament. My dad's not a college basketball fan. He filled out a bracket, and him and I sat and watched NCAA tournament games all Sunday afternoon. It's more interesting in the NCAA tournament. There's so much on it. It's the best thing in sports. And it has been marred by all of these bad things, especially the Deshaun Watson thing. And the people who are saying, well, innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, I get innocent until proven guilty. But that also means you can't just assume one thing or the other. That's what that's telling you. You can't assume he's guilty. I'm also not going to sit here and assume he's 100% innocent and act like nothing's wrong. It's disgusting. The trade for Deshaun Watson is gross. I can't understand it. Can't wrap my head around it. I'm glad there are people on Twitter, Cleveland Browns fans, who are no longer Cleveland Browns fans. I'm glad about that, because that's gross. It's terrible. We have the best thing in sports happening right now in the NCAA tournament. St. Peter's is everything that's great about the NCAA tournament. A 15 seed with a former player as a coach, not at St. Peter's, but at St. John's or Seton Hall, excuse me. And then leading his team past Kentucky, of all teams. And on that same day, we're talking about this. Disgustingness with Deshaun Watson. Terrible. Terrible. I can't wrap my head around the greatness that it is on one side. Baseball is back. We got to talk about all the terrible things, like women swimming right now with Leah Thomas and Deshaun Watson. Absolutely awful. That's wrapping it up for me today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Leah next.